Hi, and welcome. Welcome to Shamanic Works. This is Laurie, and today we're going to be talking about prayer, and here's why. I'm an old deer, and in my many decades on the planet, as a human being, learning to be a human being, and in my years as a practicing community shaman, and by that I mean someone who works hand-in-hand with spirit to bring from non-ordinary reality, the sort of unseen side of things, to bring healing and information back across to the community, whether or not the community knows that the person even exists. If that's the function, if that's the undertaking, the commitment, is to work with spirit, to step into non-ordinary reality and bring back healing and or information, then that's a community shaman. So in my years of functioning as a community shaman, seen and unseen, what I have discovered is that the most consistent and, I think, most impactful aspect of my work is actually prayer. And by that I mean spending time with, getting to know, spirit, the great mystery in all of its complexity and simplicity and glory and fullness and all of those things. So that's what I want to be talking to you about today. I've also found that this aspect of my work, this prayer, this spending time soaked in spirit, is very useful in building a life that is rich and full of color and deep and rewarding, and in which I become more and more my true self, the self that I came here to be, whoever that is, that self that you can see in the eyes of young children and that invariably fades as we get older, and that then our task is to rediscover as we move into adulthood. And this aspect of my work, prayer, has been very useful in doing that and in enriching and enlivening my life. So I would like to share with you some things that I have learned, and we'll be doing some work together as well. And so just in case you decide that you want to write anything down, you should gather to yourself a pen and paper so that you've got that in case you want it. You don't have to write anything down, but in case you think with pen and paper, which I do, sometimes I draw pictures and doodles and sometimes I actually write words down and lists and things like that, then pen and paper good. You might want to light a candle and kind of get yourself settled. I'm going to rattle for a minute and kind of hum while you collect things and get yourself together. So, I hope you have yourself gathered together. And what we will do first, as always, if you're a regular listener, then you will know this, is to begin by praying, opening sacred space, speaking to the spirits that surround us, and particularly to those that came into this life with us, with the agreement that they would help us through, they would guide us and teach us and stand beside us and protect us. So we'll be asking those spirits and anyone else that you want to call on that you know is your friend and ally, while I'm opening sacred space, to stand around us and help teach us and participate in this sort of mini workshop that we're going to be doing today. So if you will face yourself east, please, if you're in the northern hemisphere, that's just to the left of where the sun comes up. If you're listening from the southern hemisphere, it's just to the right of where the sun comes up. And if you're in a big building and you haven't got a clue where you are, then pick a direction that feels like east to you and just declare it magical east. And for the duration of this program and this workshop, it will be east for you. So face yourself east or send your attention in that direction if you're not where you can get up, and we will begin. Spirits of the East, you who throw open the gates of the dawn and invite us to greet the day, you who are the midwives, the nurturers, and the protectors of that which is young and tender and new and awkward within us, teach us this day to have the courage to move into what is new, to be awkward if that's the way that we are, to nurture and defend and nourish that which is beginning in us. Be present in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And then if you turn yourself a quarter of the way around, that is a quarter of a turn to the right, then you will be facing south. Spirits of the South, you in whom we find the fullness of noon, the richness of high summer, the sort of energy that we feel now that we are at the summer solstice, teach us the joy, the fire, the ecstasy of knowing spirit fully, of opening ourselves to life, of celebrating. Be present here in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And now if you will turn another quarter turn until you are facing west. Spirits of the West, you who ready our eyes for the darkness of that which is not yet seen with the softness of your twilight, you who teach us to be impeccable warriors, to travel light so that we may dance across the rainbow bridge, step into alternate realities, and return laden with gifts. Teach us. Be present here in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. Now if you turn another quarter turn until you're facing north. Spirits of the North, our ancestors. The ancestors of our DNA, the ancestors of our spiritual lineages, which are many. We are so lucky to live in this time. Ancestors, gather around us as you have always done, you who have crossed over beyond death and returned to stand at our side and our backs to teach us and to guide us. Make yourselves known to us. Dream us. Dance us. Let us be the answers to your prayers. Be present here in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And if you can, reach overhead or send your attention upwards. Spirits up above, Papa Sun, Grandmother Moon, Star Nations, our ultimate ancestors, you of whose dust we are made, shine your light upon us. Let our eyes be open to see our soul's true path, to know the bounty of the universe we live in, to find our own yourselves. Be present here in this conversation. Lean into us and make your wisdom known. And now if you'll reach below you, if you can, put your hand on the earth as she rises up to meet you in her guise as floor or carpet or however it is that she greets you. Earth, my mother. Earth, my mother. Earth, my mother. You cradle us, as always. Remind us today and always, always, always that we are bone of your bone, blood of your blood, breath of your breath. Teach us to walk with grace upon your skin, to dance with joy upon your belly, to live in harmony with all our brothers and sisters here, from microbes to stars, winds, and clouds. Be present here in this conversation. Lean into us. Make your wisdom known. So here we are, surrounded by helping spirits, wrapped in sacred space. And so we can begin this conversation about prayer, about communion. And I'd like to start it by actually sharing three quotes with you on the subject of prayer, and then we'll just take a look and see if you find them. One is from Mahatma Gandhi, who says, "It is better in prayer to have a heart without words than words without a heart." And then from the Buddhist monk, Thich Nhat Hanh, "You carry Mother Earth within you. She is not outside of you. Mother Earth is not just your environment. In that insight of interbeing, it is possible to have real communion with the earth, which is the highest form of prayer." That one is dear to my heart, obviously. And then I would like to read to you from a little bit from Jamie Myers, a shamanic teacher and practitioner, from his June newsletter, which is, of course, we're right here at the summer solstice. So he says, "We are heading towards the summer solstice, the height of the life force in its most obvious manifestations. Green earth, fat animals, dancing in the body, and revelry in the heart, and joyful play. Many traditions consider this time the height of divine masculine energy. Please don't confuse divine masculine energy with human gender. All of us have and need the divine masculine to be operating fully in us, or we are not well. In fact, if you hear the phrase divine masculine and immediately scoff and disparage, you need to work deeply with the divine masculine. When the divine masculine is weak in us, we become sarcastic, power-hungry, heartless, greedy, envious, blaming, moralistic beings interested in obedience more than in substance, and with no understanding of beauty or adult responsibility." So, I thought I would just share that with you, because we are here at the summer solstice, and my question for myself really was, why on earth prayer now? When I tend to think of prayer as a deepening wintertime sort of thing to do, when you're sinking into the divine feminine, and just letting the earth hold you and waiting, you know, for the spring to come. But in actual fact, prayer is a beautiful blend of the two, of this the sort of fiery joy and intention and movement in a straight line towards something, and of the deep communion and holding. So if you take sort of all of those quotes together, then you have multiple aspects of what prayer is like. And always, always, we need that injection of the wildness, which is one of the things that, if you're a person who was raised in an organized religion, and one of the things that organized religions try to strip out of prayer is the wildness, the unexpectedness, the spontaneity, creativity of prayer. And that should, that is there. If you are related with someone, a human being, if you're related with spirit, there will be spontaneity. If you're close and your hearts are open, then there will be immediacy, spontaneity, creativity, and wildness in it. And so this aspects prayer thing is part of my birthright as a human being, this relating to everything from the heart and from spirit. That's part of my birthright, not just of my work as a community shaman, but also as my birthright as a human being. It's part of being human, is to relate in that way. It's part of being human with a body, to relate fully in prayer with a body. I just want to say that because I know that there are some things that our industrialized culture does to us, and one of them is to make us disparage our own bodies and not treat them well. By that I mean to relate with them as if they were other than us, or a machine, or something that we can just, there must be some rules for how to treat it, and then you just sort of do that and drive it as hard as you can and get the most out of it, and don't consider that your body is also a teacher, it's also an antenna, and it's also a rich way of experiencing spirit and prayer. So I just want to say that, and also to say that, of course, prayer is something that in an industrialized, globally corporate culture is not high on the list of things to value. It is a thing that is just sort of stripped away from us as humans. It is not a thing that's encouraged except within organized religion, and therefore in a fairly narrow channel. And I know that that channel can run deep because I've been there, but I'm inviting you to step a little bit outside of the channel as well, if that's where you come from. And if not, to just, come with me and see what you find that is relevant to you and discard anything that isn't, really. So here's what I have learned in a nutshell. Okay, we're going to take this in steps. So because I'm doing this because I may be the only person on the planet who longed for this, but I really wanted someone to take me aside and say, okay, here's how you pray. Here's some effective steps you can take, and here's why. So there were people who could say, here's some effective steps to take, but they couldn't tell me why. They couldn't tell me the underlying principle. And so that those steps were not a lot of use to me. There are people that don't need to know why, and so I'm sorry if I'm burdening you with why, but I'm going to tell you why with these things, because I think it's useful and deepening to understand ourselves and how we operate. So, first thing, it's very easy, and I find it for a lot of my life that what drove me towards prayer, what was wrong in my life, what was missing, what was afflicting me, what was hurting me, what was constricting me, what was frightening me, all of those things, those are the things that drove me to get back in touch with spirit, to remember that I'm not just a physical and mental being, but that there is heart and there is spirit in me. So it's very easy to focus on that, but it's not particularly useful because where your attention goes, that's where energy flows. So whatever I'm focusing on, I am energizing it. I'm giving it my energy, my own vitality. And you'll recognize that probably from your own experience. And you may already know this, so just, sit back and let it wash over you. So what we're going to start with, rather than starting with the thing that's really bothering us, is we're going to start with gratitude. We're going to find a way to generate gratitude in ourselves. And the reason that we're going to do this is because gratitude opens up your heart. You have this direct bodily opening, if you wish to have it, directly to spirit, to source energy, to the joy of creation, right there in your own body, in your heart, about the place where your heart chakra is. No wonder that people, saw heart chakras and heart centers and great seas of chi and, all of those other things right there where the heart is. That's where I I feel it. I can actually feel that open up. And one of the ways of opening it, there are several, but one of them is gratitude. And it's easy and accessible because if you still yourself just enough to look around you, then there are things that you can genuinely be grateful for. And the more that you speak that gratitude, then the more that your heart center will open, that portal to directly to source energy will open up. And when that opens up, that energy flows through you. It flows through every cell in your body. And you cannot help but be transformed. Not necessarily in A Road to Damascus, everything gets transformed at once thing, but you will transform. And if you do it consistently, which is what I'm inviting you to do, and suggesting might be a good idea, then you will transform a little at a time, consistently, and you're not transforming into something like you've got an end view of what needs to happen. You're just surrendering yourself to source energy and transforming. And of course, what comes through as source energy is your own true self, who is a multidimensional being of light and is always there and available to you. And then, so what one we would hope would be that as you're more exposed to that energy, you become more and more your own true self, the self that you came here being, and that your job, part of your job, is to rediscover and to look to see who you are and then to live that out. So, very first job for you is to make yourself a list of things you can genuinely be grateful for. And that if you say thank you to, you will begin to create that in yourself. So here's a thing. I started with this at Jamie Meyer's suggestion. He was on the show last October, and he said he was doing this, so I thought, well, I'll give that a go and see what I think. Every morning, as a part of my just things that I do in the morning, I step outside the back door and I look at my back garden, which is, you know, huge. It's just sort of a little square of grass, and it's got some potted plants back there and a couple of trees, you know, and some ivy. And I just thank it. I thank it for letting me live here, reminding myself in doing that the earth is not a commodity. You know, the earth is a being, and this land here allows me to live here, and it provides blossoms in the spring, so I thank it for that. It provides food for birds, so they're around, and I hear them sing, and I thank it for that. And I thank it for everybody who's going to come after me, and everybody who's come before me, reminding myself in that really time is all folded in on itself, and those people are with me, and loving the land and being cared for by the land all at the same time. And I thank it for holding the underground network, you know, of all of those organisms that make the soil alive and provide the substrate for life on earth and allow for my life. So I just thank it. And I started out doing that and I felt kind of funny and I didn't feel a lot happening in me. But the more that I have done it, the more that I have said thank you, the more I feel that energy run through me, and the more I feel how connected I am to the land. So it's not to say it's connected me up to the land, but it's made me aware that I am connected, because we are. We're all connected, and we just forget. You know, it's not something that our culture teaches us how to remember regularly and experience regularly. So we have to teach ourselves and each other how to do that. So, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds of rattling to write down three things, maybe up to six if you're really fast, but I wouldn't push for that, of stuff that you can actually say thank you for, and it generates some warmth in your heart. You can feel your heart opening, and you may want to be thanking your cat for being your faithful companion and always coming to you and cuddling up and making you feel comforted, or you may be thanking the wind for, you know, blowing you clean and just making you feel all fresh and wild and connected to, you know, places far away, or whatever it is that you would like to say thank you for. So let's jot those down quickly and I'll be quiet. So keep writing if you're writing frantically, but if you're finished and wishing I would get on with it, I will. So here's the next thing. What I would like for you to do is to look at your intention. Look at the intention you have for your life. And by intention, I mean, what is it that you are headed towards being? Who are you consistently coming back to being? So this is a tough one because once again, we're not trained how to do this. So here's a thing for me. I knew from the first time I ever journeyed when I was maybe 13, that the thing I kept running across in this particular journey was like a pillar amongst kind of fog and or formless stuff. And the pillar, there were two or three of them, but the first one I came across and the one I kept coming across, I kept coming back to, somehow I knew it was compassion. So it was an immutable in my life. I'm not saying in the universe at all, but in me, in my life, compassion was an immutable thing. Honesty was another one. So for me, I know from early on, even though I didn't know it consciously, that my part of my commitment, my intention for this life was to live compassion in the world and to speak honestly. So that's the thing that I was gifted with that early on, but I forgot about it. And it's taken me some decades to come back around to it and go, oh yeah, right. That's a fundamental in my life, you know, is to live compassion in the world and to speak honestly. So then that's your next job, because effective prayer that's going to actually alter things, has to be a complete act. You can't be doing what you think you ought to be doing. You've got to be speaking, doing, experiencing, generating from a solid place to stand. So that pillar of compassion that I came up against in my earliest journeyings and daydreamings, and you know, I say journey, but that sounds awfully formal. It wasn't a formal journey. It was just me wondering and being present to spirit and wondering about my life. So that it's a place, a solid place I can stand, because I know that that's me. I can feel it in my body when I say it. You know, my intention in this life, or at least one of them, is to live compassion in this world. You've got to know where you stand in order for prayer to be effective. Because here's the bad news. We might like to look out there at the things that are bothering us and say to ourselves, well, if I could just pray effectively, I could directly change that. But in actual fact, the only thing you can change is yourself. That's where you're given access. That's where you have sovereignty. That's where you can stand solidly and speak with power. So you've got to find that place. You must find that place that is you, that is absolutely fundamentally you. So I'm going to sort of invite you to take a look at that. And the look I would like for you to take is not an intellectual look, although sometimes that helps you. Sometimes you can work backwards and figure out, okay, when I have run up against dead ends in my life, for instance, what was the thing that I was doing? What was it blocking? How was it off track? Because it must have been off track, or I wouldn't have dead-ended myself there. So you got to give yourself some credit for actually organizing stuff that looks like it's outside of you, you know, in response to who you're being. You have tremendous power in that regard, but it is power in yourself. It's not power to reach out over there and zap somebody or some situation. It's power in yourself. So must find your own intention in your life. So the best way to do this is to say your thank yous, allow your heart to open, and then ask just ask into that energy. Who am I? What's fundamental to me? Who did I come here to be? What could I, if I gave it up, that would just be me gone. You know, what is really basic to me? And then whatever comes to you, make a note or a picture or, you know, something that will remind you so that you can continue to consider that and ponder it in your heart, as they would say in King James's time, so that you can come up with some formula for yourself, some way of saying it to yourself that makes sense and that you can feel all of your cells jump up and say, yes, that's it. See, there's your body being an antenna. You will feel it in your body when you get it right. So I'm going to rattle for you. I might even hum a little bit, keep myself occupied, and write down some intentions for yourself. One, two, maybe three. If you find yourself with lots of them, look for the pattern, because that will mean that you're walking around your central intention and you're seeing it from different angles and writing it down, and at some point they'll coalesce. They may not coalesce right now inside of this program, but they will coalesce for you if you continue to consider them. So I am inviting you to consider them. I'm going to rattle for 2 minutes, so that's not a lot of time, but it's going to feel like a long time, and I'm rattling because, you know, we're on radio and it doesn't like silence, or I would just leave you to yourself. So I'll be rattling and you be asking, what is my, you know, central basic reason for being? What is me? Here we go. There you are. So, continue to write if you're writing. And I'm going to just read you the other half of the Jamie Meyer quote because I liked it. And here's what he suggests for us at this time of year. He says, take some time to make prayers to the gleefully fierce, embracingly warm, playfully sensuous life force, to the divine masculine. Ask it to sing its song of full life into you, so that you can begin singing it ever more strongly. That's just kind of, for me, encapsulates prayer, really. It's best to do this at dawn, but any time works. The divine masculine sings the new song into us. Ask it to sing the new song of our species into you, so that you can start embodying it and living it. We are done with the current song. It's outlived its usefulness. Ask for the new song to be sung down through the crown of your head and start singing. So that was Jamie Meyer. That, I think, is best. So that's the next thing, really, that I would suggest in this process. So we're looking at gratitude, so the heart opens. a reminder of or a discovery of our own intention for being on this planet. And then, of course, the next thing is to ask that source energy, to ask spirit to teach us how to live out that intention in our lives. Because each of us has that singular individual intention that we came here with, that we, you know, we were sent and blessed and accompanied, and you know, so you've got your team with you, even though you may not know who they are or sense that they're near you. They are, and the more that you are attuned to your own intention for being here and living it out, the closer they will be, and the more they will make themselves known to you. And certainly, ask them to do that, absolutely, so that you see them. So, you know, if you're functioning from within the church, they are your guardian angels, and if you're functioning from outside the church, then you know they're your team. So we're going to try this now, to invite spirit right now to teach each of us how to fulfill our intentions for ourselves, our lives, you know, our destinies, and to be our partners in doing that. Okay. So once again, I'm going to be rattling and you're going to be asking. So you're opening your heart and you're asking, and then whatever occurs to you. So here's the thing, you may not know, you probably know this, but you may not, is that when you are doing this kind of work, the first thing that occurs, and for a lot of us, it's an image, but it could be anything. It could be a sense of a place that you are, or a feeling in the air around you, or a sound, or it could be anything. That's the general answer for the moment. And then anything that happens after that, that's kind of like details, so that you actually get the finer details of the picture. So once again, this is going to be a quick ask and a quick write down what you sense. But keep in mind that, of course, spirit speaks in metaphor. So, you know, if you see yourself on a horse galloping across a meadow, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go out and buy a horse and gallop across a meadow. It may mean something else entirely that would signify. So it could be, you know, freedom and joy and self-expression or whatever it occurs to you, whatever feels right that means to you. Okay, so asking spirit to partner up with us and to teach us and to how to fulfill that intention. Okay, so we're going to do that. I'm going to rattle and you're going to write and even speak if you wish, if you're in a place where you can. So a couple of minutes, and here we go. Thank you. hopefully you now have a sense of how it is that you might fulfill that intention that you have discovered in yourself, in the world. And then, of course, the next thing to do, once you're sort of in that place where you're standing firmly on your own intention and you've got the sense of how it lives out in your life, and you've previous to that opened your heart with gratitude, then what we do that works, you know, that's what I do in my daily prayers, is to speak what it is that I am requesting of the universe, as if I were seeing it and describing it. So, for instance, I might be very concerned that people are disregarding of the Earth herself, that we don't, we just go along with what we are given, and the life that is generated by global corporations, and that we aren't taking a stand. Not enough people are taking a stand and actually making a difference in their own lives. And so, you hear me whining? it's just not there. It's just not there. That's not what I'm going to be giving my attention to. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be looking, standing in that powerful place in myself, looking out at the world and speaking as if it were happening. So for me, what that sounds like is I stand there and I'm standing. I don't pray on my knees. I'm standing. I'm in partnership with Spirit. My heart is open. I'm on the balls of my feet, you know, ready to spring into action because I'm so excited about getting to spend time with my heart open, with Spirit coursing through me. And so I might say, Earth Protectors rising, Earth Protectors rising, Earth Protectors rising, Water Protectors rising, Air Protectors rising, Earth Protectors rising, 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 and then a breath of intention. That blows that out into the universe. So I have spoken, so one of my intentions clearly is tender care for the earth. You know, that we could continue to be here because we're in that position where we're kind of on the line whether we're going to continue as a species or not. The earth's going to be fine, but will we be here? Will my grandchildren get a chance to grow up and know a living, vibrant, rich earth that they are part of or not? So that, you know, that's on the heart. There you are. Or I might be saying of a friend whom I know is ill, Penny, whole, sound, full of light. Penny, whole, sound, full of light. Penny, whole, sound, full of light. And that breath, expecting the universe to shift and enable that to happen, however it might be, you know. And it may be that if this friend is gravely ill, that being whole and sound and full of light may mean that she crosses over peacefully, or it may mean that she recovers and, you know, comes back to full health and strength. And I am just describing what I'm seeing because I'm a seeing person, or what I'm sensing, or what I am hearing, or, you know, intuiting. I'm just speaking it. One of my guides once said to me, it's only poetry. Just say what you see, which I thought was just strange because I always thought of poetry as being sort of held in. But if you can lend a poetic voice to what you are saying, it helps you. And, you know, and there's power in it. That's why bards were bards. That's why poets are poets. There is power in language that is free and expressive and steps right out of that open heart. So, then, those are my examples to you, and I'm going to get you to try that now. So if you're in a place where you can actually speak out loud, by all means do it. If not, just language it strongly in your head. It takes actually more concentration to do that so that we're not distracted, but right at this moment, while I'm talking, just let me blather on, make a note of just two or three things that immediately spring to mind that you want to speak to, that want to lend power to the recovery of, or to the undertaking itself. And that Earth Protectors thing, that arose for me out of Standing Rock. I wouldn't have looked at it that way if I hadn't encountered that particular fabulously spiritual undertaking at Standing Rock. So you jot down for yourself, you know, a couple of three things, because I'm not going to be rattling long, and I will rattle just because the radio doesn't want me to just be silent. And then you pray for whatever it is. So let it rip, you know, poetic language, whether it's internal or whether it's spoken out loud. The floor is yours. So I'm sorry if I interrupted you, and you know, all those prayers just ripping out around the world. Very, very encouraging. So once I've done that, then the last thing I do in my prayers is to extend blessings wherever I sense that they need to go. And the one that I end with has to do with my own community here, because I am a community shaman and responsible in my own way for the healing and the blessing and the coming to fruition of everything in this valley community. So I live in a coastal community. It's got moor behind it and hills, and then we're in a valley that faces the sea. So we have a fabulous variety of landscape here and of life. And so what I generally do at the end of my prayers is to bless that life here. So I'm just going to go through that with you so that you get a taste for it. And then I would invite you to, you know, bless your own community or bless your house or, you know, whatever it is that occurs to you that could use it. Because, you know, all of us can use blessings. So when I used to bless the house regularly, I would ask that its systems be free flowing, but sealed. So because we have hot water heating system. So you want that sealed, but you want it free flowing. And you want the electricity system sealed, but you want it free flowing. And that's what the house wants too. It wants to function the way that it was made to function. It wants its roof to be watertight and its windows to keep the wind out and its walls to stand firm and its foundations to be deep in the earth and steady. All those things are things you can ask for your house. It changes the way you relate to the building. It becomes a being, which it is. You know, even though we made it, it's still a being. So here's my final bit of my own prayer time. May all of us in this valley community, all of us, from microbes to stars and winds and clouds, the hills around, the moor beyond, the longshore drift, the sea herself, the rivers and the rocks, the plants and the trees, those that rest, those that burrow, those that drift, those that crawl, those that swim, those that fly, those that walk on two legs or four, those made by the hand of the earth herself, and those made by the hands of humans, elements, energies, powers, principalities, systems. May every one of us here, every single one of us, may we shine. May we shine with the light of creation. May we shine with the light of our creation. May we shine with our light of creation. And shine, and shine, and shine. So it is, so it shall be, so be it. And then I go on my way. So I would invite you to sort of seal off the praying by blessing whatever it is that presses itself against your heart and wants to be blessed, like a cat rubs up against your legs. You know, whatever is there that is requesting your attention, because that is a powerful, powerful tool in your humanic, you know, toolkit of being human, of being yourself. So I'd invite you to use that. Right, so I'm thinking that we're just nearly done. And I want you to sort of look at how, right now, just experience how your body feels. So if you are feeling tireder and more down, then this prayer stuff is not for you, you know. But if you are feeling slightly energized and lifted, maybe in a slightly more elevated mood and clearer maybe, and maybe more full of light, then this may be something that you want to undertake on a regular basis. And certainly you will be richer for it. Your life will be more in technicolor, and the world will be richer for it. And in fact, the universe will alter as you progress through praying. Always, always, always. It simply does. So prayer at its best returns us to the world refreshed and singing, and our feet finding our place again in the great dance, full of fire, full of mystery. And the great dance is not the same dance if we're not dancing it. So definitely, definitely get out there and dance the great dance. Sing the great song. Sing that new song of our species. You know, ask the joyful fire to sing it into your hand. And may your prayers do just that for you. Return you energized and refreshed and transformed always. So, thank you. Thank you to whoever is listening out there. And thank you to the spirits of the East and of the South and of the West and of the North, of the sun and the moon and the stars, and the earth herself. Thank you to all of our ancestors and all of our teams for surrounding us, for living this life with us, for leaning into us, teaching, guiding and protecting us. Thank you. And I would love to hear back from you if you have anything to say. My details are on the page, and you're welcome to either contact via the News for the Soul website or directly, however you'd like to. And if you and I have work to do together, then please do get in touch. And I will do my best to fulfill my side of that. So once again, thank you. Fruitful prayers to you. May your life be full of light. May it be full of richness. May your body be healthy. And may you be related in a balanced, harmonious, and beautiful way with all that is and with the great mystery. So blessings upon you, my dears. And I will hope to be talking to you in a month's time. Many thanks to you. And may your lives be rich.